It's one thing to make a tough decision for yourself, but when your decision affects other people, it becomes even harder, especially when the other person is growing inside of your belly. For women living with depression, one of the first big choices in pregnancy is whether or not to continue taking antidepressants. Allie Budner is a reporter in Northern California. She's been examining how women navigate this tricky situation, and she takes it from here.
Corey Ordway lives in a small house with her husband and 15-month-old daughter, Ellie.
This is Ellie. Hi, Ellie.
On and off for two decades, Ordway has had the kind of depression that hits hard, and she's just 33.
I get like an upset stomach, I can't eat, I have trouble sleeping, and I often will kind of like get the shakes and shivers when it's really bad.
On the day we met, Ordway laughed easily, even as she remembered her first diagnosis at age 12. The doctor suggested medicine, and Ordway says the antidepressant pills helped her feel like herself again, but she didn't like to talk about it.
I wouldn't let my mom call it medication. I wouldn't let her call it antidepressants. We called it my vitamins.
Embarrassed, she found herself in a push-pull dance throughout her late teens and 20s. Ordway would stop taking the drug and be okay for a while, but sooner or later, she'd hit another wall of depression.
At that point, they said, like, if you've been off and on this many times, you probably should just plan to take it. And I was totally at peace with that.
Until she started trying to have a baby. She wanted to have a drug-free pregnancy, but was on antidepressants when she found out she was pregnant. She couldn't have been happier, but
probably in that same second, I thought, like, I'm hurting this baby.
She didn't know what to do. There's some medical guidance out there for mothers-to-be, but no definitive answers. So women have to make a judgment call, along with their doctors. Psychopharmacologist Patrick Finley from the University of California, San Francisco, helps mothers make this kind of decision.
It really doesn't look like there's a substantial risk with the SSRIs.
SSRI means selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. It's a class of antidepressants used by millions of people, including many pregnant women.
I will say that there are some risks.
Some of the most serious potential side effects are heart problems and lung problems in the newborn. And Finley says SSRI exposure has been linked to babies born a little early, a little underweight, and fussier than average in the first few days. Every medicine comes with some risk, but Finley says the effects of really bad depression can be way worse for both mom and baby than the risks posed by most antidepressants. Pregnant women with severe depression often don't get mental health care, and some use other things to cope.
They're more likely to abuse substances, including smoking, you know, which has a terrible outcome. They're more likely to miss their appointments during their pregnancy. They don't eat as well. They don't exercise as much.
Women with this kind of deep, unrelenting depression are even more likely to have a miscarriage or become suicidal. So Finley often counsels those patients to go on or stay on an antidepressant. That's also the official recommendation from the College of Obstetrics and Gynecology. But if a woman's depression is mild to moderate, Finley says, drugs aren't always necessary. Instead, women can try things like psychotherapy, acupuncture, and diet changes.
Yeah. Let's find some toys.
But Corey Ordway's depression was severe, so she took the medicine.
Anybody who has to care for somebody else needs to be healthy.
Yeah,
right? It's okay for mommy to take care of herself and take care of you.
At the University of California, Berkeley, philosophy professor Lara Bushak says Corey Ordway's dilemma was classic. The stakes were high, and there was just one chance to make a choice.
This really is the paradigm case of risky decision-making.
Bushak teaches rational choice theory.
Do I go for the known thing, or do I go for the unknown thing that might be better, but it might be worse? And I think that's the, you know, that's the human condition.
You see examples of this all over healthcare. Taking morphine at the end of life may ease pain, but may also hasten death. A needle stick test to check for birth defects during pregnancy comes with a slight risk of miscarriage. Professor Bushak got interested in the topic because decisions have always been hard for her.
I was always known as the person who would stare at the sock drawer in the morning before being able to pick out a pair.
Bushak says there's lots of ways to work through difficult decisions. Not the sock drawer kind, but the life and death kind. First off, precedent can help us, looking at what we or other people have done in the past and how that worked out. Mom Corey Ordway says when you're having a baby, you can't help but look around and be influenced by friends, family, society in general.
I think I just had this sense that you shouldn't be taking medication when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
There is a historic incident that cast a shadow of fear over women trying to decide whether or not to take medications during pregnancy.
Concern over the tragic effects of the new sedative thalidomide.
The case of thalidomide. It was a popular morning sickness medication in the early 60s. The pills caused serious birth defects in tens of thousands of babies worldwide and eventually led the U.S. government to toughen regulations around medication for pregnant women. In a broadcast from News of the Day, here's President John F. Kennedy talking about thalidomide in 1962.
Every doctor, every hospital, every nurse have been notified. Every woman in this country, I think, must be aware that it's most important that they check their medicine cabinet and that they do not take this drug, that they turn it in.
So while it might be scientifically outdated now, this catastrophe from the past set a precedent that profoundly impacts the decisions pregnant women make today. Another thing that can shape our decisions is our own mood. How you're feeling, says Professor Bushak, often determines how much risk you're willing to take at any moment.
So, for example, if you're in a good mood, let's say it's sunny outside, then you think it's more likely that good things are going to happen. Maybe you think it's more likely that, you know, there'll be an upturn in the stock market or something like that, or that you'll get a promotion. But you're actually less willing to take risks
because you're happy enough with the status quo. On the other hand, if you're depressed or in pain, you're more willing to take risks to get out of what seems like your bad situation. And sometimes, says Bushak, those risks can be good ones to take. Her final tip is don't muddy the waters with too much information and well-intentioned advice from other people. Sitting at her kitchen table, Corey Ordway says she was careful who she talked with when she was expecting.
If you want to get down and play, you're welcome to go play.
But she did take her psychiatrist's advice, and she switched to an antidepressant that had fewer believed risks for pregnancy and breastfeeding.
You want another cookie? Here you go. You can have a bite of a cookie.
Ordway and her daughter are both doing great. She says she made the best choice she could, and she's living with it. Still, sometimes she wonders,
is there anything about who my daughter is now that was affected by that or is affected by that? Like, biochemically. Does she have traces of it in her body? But then, like, we all have traces of everything in our body. I feel really like this was the right thing for us, and it would be again.
For The Pulse, I'm Allie Budner.